Should we create another language? It's possible. But what's the use? Because the people who know it, they don't need any explanation. And the other people, they don't know the language. And learning another language is something else. So what we do? Because this message is not for the exceptionally talented people. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that it's good for everyone, every soul on the earth. Okay? So, what should we do? We choose two stuff. We are storytellers. Why? Because we could talk to your imagination somehow. We make up stories and we talk about these awful people. You would get it if I try to explain how horrible fellow you are. First of all, you become defensive. Then you don't get it. So I said there was this fellow like this. That's a trick. The other one is poetic language, always. Poetry, why? Because poetry provokes imagination. In poetry, what you see is not what the poet meant. Poet will write something which means something else, which is not explainable. That's what the art of language is, right? So, if you want to decipher the words, every single word has so many meanings. Which one would you choose? The one you prefer? It was not about your preferences, it was about something else, right? Which one should you get? All of it and none of it. Let go of the deciphering the words. Decipher the sentences, the book first. First you should know what we are talking about, then go to the details, right? That's why I insist that read the book. All of it is stories. When you hear it from me, it's different. Because I stop the movie, I make the slow motion, I go to details, I do the flashback, all of that. But you should know what the book is all about. Then the words will become, some of the meanings become relevant over there to the meaning of the book. So you should know what the book is. And I explained that this is a very exceptional book. First of all, it's not written like a book. Book will happen like this. Somebody will sit down and write a book. This is not it. This is a fellow who is teaching the people some bizarre stuff that he knows. And meanwhile, some poetry. And those poetries are meant for us. The rest, we don't know what happened over there. How he was teaching, we don't know. And it's irrelevant. This is what we are looking at. So yes, you have to know the books and the stories. It will help you to know the general meaning, and somehow it will help me. Because when I do these flashbacks, go here and there, I don't see the eyes like that. At least you know what I'm referring to. That's all. So reading the book, because in my mind, I'm not teaching Masnavi. Here I'm trying to teach how to read Masnavi, because I believe every fellow should have his or her own understanding of this book. This is what this magic is all about. So it's written for the people. It doesn't need me. I'm a little bit help here. That's all. Everything is in here. But you have to find something. Some delicate stuff. What is it? A taste. When you develop a taste for this meaning, it will go in you, it will sit down in you, because that's what this is all about. How you could change all your feelings, because you were born with inward feelings only, like any animal. It was about me. This is about we. And we talked about it so clearly. Remember? One verse which was at the beginning of book two. Somebody asked, what is love? I said, when you become we, you will understand it. As long as you are I, love is not for you. That capital I is the existence of I. Is that enough explanation what to do?
Thank you.
With the new book? And don't forget, pray for them. They're falling in a bad trap. Okay, where are we? What are we talking about?
You asked us a question last week about the goldsmith and why we were supposed to ponder the question of why Rumi chose the goldsmith rather than the cheesemaker. Mm-hmm. And we were supposed to ponder
that. Was very detailed, and that was the thing that I suggested you avoid.
Oh.
Come from the... we are in a book three, which is enrichment. We are in the middle of the story of Moses and Pharaoh, which is my arrogance and my spirit. There was some need for some explanation that the story has been interrupted. Do you remember? Interrupted with what? With two exceptional sorcerers who didn't follow their nose. They ducked. They went to the mother, to the spirit of the father, to realize what is this Moses about? And they became good. This was the exception. So Rumi started to talk about all the knowledge which could be helpful here. Because we put the knowledge down here. That's what we do. Why? Because the sickness of the brain. Brain says knowledge is absolute, is always correct, right? And always is incorrect. You haven't heard that story. It's the story of difference between philosophy and this kind of stuff. Philosophers, how they become a philosopher? They bring in a new point and they prove it, right? That's what philosophy is all about. Exact. So philosophers, they prove their point. We don't. Which one do you prefer? Be honest.
Both.
You should prefer philosophy because it could be proven to you. That's what your brain accepts, right? But let's dig a little bit further between these two groups. Every philosopher becomes a philosopher by proving the other one nonsense. Mm-hmm. Yes, Spinoza proved Plato naive. And Plato did the same to the other guys. They all prove that they all are wrong. The only one which the wrongness is not proven is the one now. Come back tomorrow. That's the philosophy. But in here, it's one thing and only, and none of them will fight each other. All of them will say, it's the same, it's just love, doesn't matter who you are. See? That's the way. Superficially, yes, science is fantastic. But dig further. You will see that there is something beyond the logic. And that's what the name of this school is all about. One of the most famous sheikh called it the way beyond the logic. Torah baraye aql. That's the name of this. Because logic is lovely. but limited. It's made for animals. Have you ever seen any logical animal? That's what logic is. It's the base, but it's further than that. And that's what we're digging here around. Yes? Then in this discussion, he's talking about an exception, making a story. The story is about a dervish in the mountains. And we hear about all of this stuff. We say a dervish in the mountain to cut it off, to make it an example for you to see. Here, today, you will see this good dervish doing some silly stuff, promising himself not to eat and not to grab any fruit and say, okay, the wind will bring it to me, so I will not do it. Because that's violating the right of the tree, the fruit. All of that is an excuse of not doing something, right? Then you will see what will happen to the guy. You are the guilty party today.
The rest of the story on the ascetic of the mountain who had made a vow that he would not pluck any mountain fruit from the trees or shake the trees or tell anyone to shake them, either plainly or in veiled terms, and that he would only eat what the wind might cause to fall from the trees.
Okay. First of all, don't you have any question? What was this all about? We know it's a story, and we're going to read it. Why he makes that big title over there to explain it openly like that? For you to let go of all the story before starting it. That is the story, right? Now you should watch how this story will be told to you again. Because that is the story. The guy is going to say, okay, everything is okay, I'm not going to pick up, the wind will blow it for me, blah, 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 right? For you that, okay, this is the simplest story. Now hear how I'm going to express it. Yes?
On that mountain were trees and fruits. There were many mountain pears, numberless. The dervish said, O Lord, I make a covenant with thee. I will not pluck any of these during the time. I will not pluck from the raised up trees, but the fruit that the wind has caused to fall. For a while he kept his vow faithfully, till the tribulations of destiny came on. On this account he hath commanded, saying, make the exception, attach, if God will, to your promise. Every instant I give to the heart.
Anyone translate that for me?
Inshallah.
What?
Inshallah.
Yeah, but what does it mean? So what?
If God wills it, may it happen.
You have to go back. We talked about that, didn't we? Where did we talk about that? You. This is just reminding you that you haven't read it. Read it.
I actually read it.
If you read it, you should have known about this.
I keep forgetting the stories.
Ah. It's not about the story. First paragraph of this book was about this, because this is the major point of Rumi. In first paragraph, you will see one word being repeated. And repetition in poetry is no good, because that is the point. That's exception. Because here, we put aside the rules, we talk about the exception. The exception is important, not the rule. Rule is for animal. Exception, right? And he insisted upon that, and he made it in a ridiculous way. He couldn't say inshallah. He said,